turning with me to Psalm 118. Read a couple portions of scripture. I greet you in Jesus' name. I am Pastor Panero, and I'm so thankful each of you have come to worship with us. And those of you that have joined us online, God bless you in Jesus' name. We pray that you are blessed. Those of you that are watching and listening later, God bless you as you are blessed. And we are an apostolic Pentecostal church. We're Acts 2:38 certified. Amen. Psalmist writes, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Because," somebody say, "because his mercy endureth forever." Verse 5 says, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place," or he delivered me, he set me free. Sixth verse says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can, I will not fear what can man do unto me." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Amen.
"The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation." It would do somebody good to highlight that or circle that in your Bible. That's a powerful, powerful reminder that the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Your boss is not your strength.
No.
Your paycheck is not your strength.
No.
The Lord is your song. No tears in your beers here. The Lord is my song. "And has become my salvation." This is the day that the Lord has made. We, somebody say we. Como se dice we? Nosotros. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Es es el día del Señor. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Nobody made this day for you but the Lord. The Lord made this day. And I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you on this thought. I'm still here. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm still here. Orale, I'm still here. I'm still here." Tell your other neighbor, get a good look at me, because I'm still here. I'm still here by the grace of God. I'd be wearing a mask, but underneath this mask, I'm here in the flesh. Got a little bit of my mind left, but I'm still here. I wish somebody would get this first and early this morning, that I'm still here. Thank you, Brother Pisano. I'm still here. That's a testimony all by itself, that I'm still here. God bless you. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. It was actually a week ago or so, we were taking the man of God to eat, Pastor Delgado, and we went to a place that we typically would go to, because we know we're all creatures of habit, right? And some of you go to Starbucks every day, and so Dutch Bros or whatever, and some of you go to work every day. Praise God, amen. And so We're sitting there eating or talking, and the waiter came, and I recognized him, and we started having just a brief conversation, and I hadn't been there in at least a year, and I asked, you know, "Hey, where's this person at? Where's that person? You know, who's still here? You know, who's here?" Because it's important that the cooks are still there, right?
Right.
And we're talking, And he says, but he's telling me who's here and who's not there. And then he says, but I'm still here. I said, well, praise God. That's where it kind of caught a crockpot message in my spirit right there. It's like, he's still here. You know, you ever talked to somebody and on the phone, and they're like, where you been? You're like, oh, I'm here. I'm still here, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging about everything on social media like some people do, you know. I'll let everybody know about what's going on in my world on social media. It's because it's, you know, it's personal. But I'm still here, you know. Anybody ever say that? Like, I'm still here. Not everybody has abandoned their post. I'm still here, and we understand that in this season that there are folks that they can't say that. They can't say that I'm still here. For whatever reason, they don't have that testimony that I'm still here. And this psalm that we're taking our scripture text from this morning, it was what we would call a literacy psalm, as they would head towards the temple, the place of worship, or as they would embark on their day of worship in preparation to go to worship. They would march in a procession, or they would, as they are approaching a place of worship, families gathering together, because families went to church together.
Yes.
And, we'll just stay right here. And so they went to church, and so they would do like some of you do. You kind of like, Pastor, you like to bump the music on the way to church. Like to bump a little stomp, and I got a song, and just begin to prepare your mind and the atmosphere for church.
Yeah.
Prepare your spirit for the moving of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I know some of you, you're just like me. You got to be around music, and so that these wonderful worshipers would. They would get to the city or where the temple was, because you had to go to church, because there was the community surrounded the place of worship, and so they would go to the place of worship. In fact, I can relate to this as traditional Portuguese, especially in what we would call the old country. There we have what we call parishes, and in every parish is a church. So every neighborhood, I guess it would be referencing to every part of town or neighborhood, because they live in villages there. They have a church, and so they have what they call festas or festivals. They are religious and cultural events. They have food, fun, and fellowship. They pray. They have devotion. They have a little church. But throughout this process, they will have what they call a procession, and they will walk down the street, and obviously they are pagan worshipers, and so they will do things that are not spiritual or not biblical, as they are in preparation for their religious their religion. And so they're doing this is my background of my Portuguese side. But they will sing, and they will march in the street, and they will put flowers on the street, and they will have a procession. And as they are having a procession on their way to worship, they will sing songs. And this is so I could relate to this, and seeing the scripture, and because you precious folks blessed your pastor 2 years ago to go on a trip of a lifetime, I'm able to picture this together, and so it helps in my preaching. Thank the Lord for that. And so they go to the place of worship, and the place of getting to the place of worship, there was no cars. They'd have to walk, and it's rough terrain. It's cobblestone. It's rocky, and they're walking to the place of worship, And they would sing psalms like this. And maybe the minstrel or the worship leader or the priest or the man of God would say, as the whoever compiled this psalm, Psalm 118 and 1, would say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And maybe the people would say, "Because his mercy endureth forever." And that's reason enough for us this morning to be able to give God thanks, because his mercies are renewed every morning. There are some things that we see in Scripture that are renewed every morning. The faithfulness of the Lord is forever, everlasting to everlasting. His love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. The word of the Lord, the Scripture says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So if we know that every day that the good and that he's great and his mercies endureth forever, that ought to be reason enough for us to be able to lift our voice and to lift our hands and say, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." I like what the psalmist says after that. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 24, I want to say it's the 13th verse, there we go. "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." There's some folks that they had intentions of being here today. There's some folks that had intentions of being at the place of worship today. There's people that they had every intent. They had plans for 2021, but they didn't make it into 2021. There's folks that they had every intention of this date being on the calendar and them having something spectacular take place on this date. And many times we have our minds and we have our hearts on things, but not have them on the right things. Some people have their mind on their money. They got their mind on their problems. We begin to sing some songs that the elders wrote years ago. "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There we sing forever on his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. I'll pass home at last, ever to rejoice. As I journey through this land, singing as I go." Now we've got songs that we sing. Songs like "There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chains." And how many times do we sing songs and not understand the methodology behind them or the origin of those songs? They were written because somebody went through something and the Lord became their song and their strength and also their salvation. There's many times where you can put a song on and it could be a long time since you hear that song, but it begins to bring back some memories. Sometimes they're not all good memories, but that puts you in a certain mood. You know, some songs make you want to get crazy, and other songs make you want to cry. And others, you know, you go to the grocery store, they've got songs talking about stuff, and you start putting stuff in the basket, not knowing why you're putting in the baskets. It's because there's an influence, and there's something about an influence, the influence of the Lord. The Scripture tells us, "I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me?" And we many times got our minds on a whole lot of stuff, like our sickness and the infirmity, but of our bodies. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 103 and 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." Notice this: who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth some of thy all of thy diseases. That's the God that we serve. That not only does he save you, he's able to heal you. To the only wise God be power and dominion and strength. We've had our minds on this pandemic. Many times We're more worried about the pandemic than the sustainer of our souls. Here, Pastor, there's no heartbreak, there's no heartache, and there's no headache that cannot stop the power of God. He healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds, the psalmist says. And I want to remind somebody here today that after all you've been through, you are still here. You're still here in the presence of the Lord. It's because of his mercies. That's why. It's the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God. When we begin to think of the goodness of Jesus. And all. Somebody say all. I'm not talking about a laundry detergent all. I'm talking about all that the Lord has done for me. If you could put all in a parenthesis and say, what does that all mean? It means something different to me than it means to you. But we got one thing in common. It's because of the Lord's mercies. It's because of the Lord's faithfulness. It's because of God's love for us that we're here, even when we failed him, even when we don't believe him, even when we say one thing, but we don't really believe it in our heart. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and 13, he abideth faithful. That's why we're a blessed people. Some people quit, but you kept pushing through it. Some people panicked, and you begin to pray. Other people begin to believe everything they were reading, but you chose to live everything that you were reading. You made it. Somebody shout, I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Sin may have had you bound for a season, for a little while. The addiction may have relapsed, but you're still here. The waters of life were about to overwhelm you, but as the psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me. What that means is you're a standing, living proof of the favor of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God. You begin to call on the name of the Lord. I want to tell somebody here this morning, it would do you a whole lot of good to start calling on the name of the Lord again.
Amen.
Instead of calling everyone else.
Right.
Just saying. Humanity is limited. Mm-hmm. We forget. We're rude and crude. We're not always merciful. We're not always the most loving, and we forget, and we're not always as trustworthy as we like to pretend we are. Come on, somebody. It takes us, many of us, a lot longer to forgive than we want to admit. But the Lord, pero Dios. But the Lord, the scripture says in Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us. Notice this verse say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. I like this part. It is the gift of God. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Somebody shout, I'm still here. You know that God wants to bless you? You know that the Lord cares about you? Do you realize that? Do you know that you're a child of the Most High God? You know, some people have forgotten about some people. But our Heavenly Father, he doesn't forget about you. He was mindful of you the day you were born. In fact, the scripture says, while you were in the womb. The Bible tells us in Psalm 8 and 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The psalmist tells us in Psalm 115 and 12 that the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless me or bless us. And it goes on a little further in the 15th verse. It says, ye are blessed of the Lord.
Yeah.
All the blessed people say amen.
Amen.
And I just want to reiterate something here this morning. I want to remind us that the very fact that you're alive and in the house of God is a blessed thing. It's a privilege. You're here today after all you've been through, all the stuff that you've gone through. Some of you have pickled your organs because of the lifestyle you used to live, and you were a drinker. You drink now. You're drinking Pellegrino, but before you used to drink the good stuff and the cheap stuff. But now you're getting drunk on the Holy Ghost. You're in here in the house of God, and you're in the presence of the Lord, and you can stand with conviction and say, "I'm still here." It was days that you couldn't come to church. You were bound by sin. You were incarcerated. You were physically sick. You were mentally sick. Your husband didn't want to go to church, but you kept coming to church. Your kids may have backslid, but you kept serving God. You didn't have money to give in the offering, but you were faithful in your tithing, because you know that belonged to the Lord, and so you gave unto the Lord, and you would come in to the house of God, and you brought an offering of thanksgiving. When you couldn't give an offering of finances, you brought an offering of thanksgiving, that, "Lord, I'm just thankful." You brought a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. When you were home on quarantine, you made your home a house of prayer, and it's still a house of prayer today, because you've gotten some things set in order again. That's why you're still here. That's why you're still here in the presence of the Lord. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 122 and 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." I feel like preaching and reminding somebody, don't forget why you're still here. Because of the mercies of the Lord. Amen. Some of you didn't think you would live to see the year 2021. You thought Y2K was crazy. Y2K had nothing on 2020. We've learned to endure. Appreciate that word endure. We'll never look at that word endure again and take it for granted. It means to continue to exist. Sometimes that's how you feel, that I'm just existing. But as long as there's breath in your lungs, you ought to praise the name of the Lord, because this is the day that the Lord's made. The psalmist said, "I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." Just consider your life over the last couple years. Let's just consider your life. All that God has done. The things that He's kept you from that you're aware of. And how about all the things we're not even aware of that He kept us from? Come on, somebody. How about all the things God has kept us from that we have no clue about, right? Come on, somebody. You're still here. But because you're still here, the enemy of your soul is trying to take you out. Trying to accuse you of things. Trying to tell you that you're cursed. That, "Oh, look at you now. This is not the way you planned retirement." Say, hey, if the devil's talking, guess what? He's lying. You need to be worried if the devil's not talking. Because that means that he's not concerned with you. If you're not having run-ins with the devil every now and then, that could mean that you're running on the same path and direction as he is. Come on, somebody. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Come on. Some of you have learned to be spiritually discerning. You've learned to walk in the faith. You've learned to pray and not rely on pastor's prayer and Zoom prayer. But you've learned to say, "You know what? I've fallen in love with prayer all over again. I've endured some stuff, but it's by the grace of God that I'm still here." Remind you of something. Galatians 3 and 26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 10, You were not a people before, but now you are a people which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I skipped over something very, very important on purpose because I want to focus on that for a second. You are now the people of God. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name,
amen.
Fully immersed in water, just like the Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, yeah. That means all of your sins have been washed away. And then if you've been filled with His Spirit, that means the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 tells us you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. The apostles had the Holy Ghost. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You got to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. And you got to walk in focus with the Holy Ghost, because that's the only way we're able gonna be able to get through these biblical times and be able to stand and say, I'm still here. You may not see me all the time, but I'm still here. Listen, the Bible doesn't promise an absence of challenges, obstacles, or problems. In fact, the Bible says, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's what it says. May, might. If you live in big cities, right? No. It says, yay! It's like he's being prophetic, right? And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But trouble doesn't last always. And the only way to not suffer persecution is not live godly. But I got good news. Somebody say good news. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 30 and 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
You can endure the night because joy's coming in the morning. You can hold the line because joy's coming in the morning.
Amen.
And when it comes, you'll appreciate it. You'll be able to give God praise when you see the psalm say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We don't want to go back and repeat some things, but there's a lot of things in our past that has taught us how to endure and how to be faithful and how it has kept us to this point. And there's a lot of things that are in this point, if the Lord tarries, that will keep us until Jesus comes, because we've learned to endure. We've learned to hold the line. We've learned to be faithful when others wouldn't be faithful. You learned to praise when you didn't feel like praise. You kept giving when you didn't want to give. You kept serving God when it truly was a sacrifice. And that's why you could stand here today on October 17, 2021 and lift your hands and say, I'm still here because of the mercies of the Lord.
Amen.
Think about this. Put me in the lion's den as they did to the prophet Daniel. He was in the lion's den because he was a man of prayer, a faithful man of prayer. He was a man of God. But they put him in the lion's den because there was enough evidence to convict him of being a man of prayer. There's a lot of folks that can't testify and say, I'm still here, because there wasn't enough evidence in their life that they could lean on that would prop him up. But Daniel, he kept praying anyways. He did it just like he always did, the scripture said. And in Daniel 6 and 22, this is Daniel in the lion's den. When they called out to him, he said, my God had sent his angel, not angels, but angel, not an Angela, but an angel, and has shut the lion's mouth, that they that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel was basically saying, you put me in the lion's den. Yeah, there was a reason why you put me in the lion's den. But, oh, king, I'm still here. And because I'm still here, it proves that God is able to do things unexplainable. That's why I pray, because I'm casting all my cares on him, for he careth for me. Put me in the fiery furnace. Bind me up. Throw me in the fiery furnace with my friends and my brothers. Turn the heat up on the fire. And if it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver me, and I can stand and tell the rest of the story. I'm still here. Throw me in prison after my conversion on the Damascus Road.
Yeah.
And I'll write the book of Ephesians. Throw me in prison again. And I'll write another book. Yeah. And I'll call it Philippians. Mm-hmm. And I'll encourage the readers with verses like this. I can do all things.
Yep.
Through Christ, which strengthens me. What are you saying, Brother Paul? That he is not here in the flesh, but the flower faded, but the word of God, it remains to give. Basically, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the word of Paul is saying I'm still here. Heaven only knows how many times we've read that, and we're encouraged because Brother Paul said, I'm still here, so I'm going to write. I'm on quarantine. I'm on house arrest, and I'll write Philemon. I'll write Colossians. I'll write Bible verses like Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwell in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah.
And ye are complete in him.
Yeah.
He completes you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Build the ark, Noah. Do it the way I told you to do it.
Yeah.
Where's Noah? Build the ark, Noah. Chop the trees, plant the food, harvest, plan ahead, do it over and over again. Why? Because the Lord said so.
Yeah.
And we've learned that obedience is better than sacrifice, because the masses can be wrong. And in Noah's case, the whole world was wrong. And all Noah had, I preached about it before, all Noah had was a word from God. Is a word from God enough for you? The Bible says in Genesis 6 and 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And everyone shaking their head. 50 years, nothing. 75 years, 100 years, nothing, no rain, big old ark. But Noah kept being faithful. In fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6 and 8, for Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But after 120 years, something that had never happened before began to take place. Noah did something that had never happened before, because something that had never happened before was about to take place. Noah was in spiritual alignment and in preparation for a season and an event that had never happened before, because he was in alignment with the Lord. Ha! And Genesis 7 and 12 says, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every time it rains, In fact, you ever play with the water hose back in the good old days, right? Before there was a drought and before we had fancy, everybody could afford a swimming pool from Walmart and, you know. Well, if you're living here, I guess you don't need a swimming pool. Praise God. But you get the water hose. You'd let the water run all over the street, you know. It wasn't a drought there. But sometimes you can get the water hose, and when the sun is setting right or the sun is shining right, you can angle the water hose in a way, and you can make your own rainbow, right? Anybody ever play with the water hose? Anybody ever drink from the water hose? Yeah. And you're still here? Some good water. But every time it rains, we are reminded of the promises of God. And it had to rain in order for the promises of God to be revealed. It's as if the Lord is saying to everybody, I'm still here. My promises are still yes. And amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. So Noah's in the ark with his family and there's a rainbow and he and his family are the ones that could testify and say, I'm still here. I'm still here in Jesus' name. Gather the Christians together. Persecute them. Burn the city and blame it on the Christians. Arrest them. Burn the Bibles. In fact, let's just go after Jesus. Musicians would come. Let's crucify Jesus. Let's nail him to a cross. Let's bury him in a tomb. But 3 days later, he will rise again, victorious over death, over hell, over the grave, and will read, and they will watch in that time as he shows himself to Mary, as he shows himself to Thomas, and Thomas touches his hands, and as he shows himself to the apostles, and for 40 days, he would show forth himself, and he would even walk on the road to Emmaus, all the while testifying, saying, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I've never left. I'm still here. And some of you here this morning, your relationship with the Lord is strained. Maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you're a prodigal. Maybe you weren't able to come on Wednesday night. You weren't able to come last week, and you're feeling a little empty. You're feeling a little weary, and you know that we're living in the end time. You know that biblical prophecy is in real time, and things are happening. But you also sense that there's something taking place in the spirit. God is adding to the church, and you're feeling the glory of the Lord. You're feeling the strength of the Lord. I told some of you last week that last week I felt was a breakthrough week, and we've seen the results of that all through the week, but there's still some of you that are saying, I'm still here, and the Lord has come to tell you today through your pastor to remind you that he's still here too.
Yeah.
He has never left. He's never forsaken you. He's as close as the mention of his name. And I wonder if somebody would lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm still here. And if you're willing, Lord, remember me. Would you lift your hands? Remember me, oh God. As we stand this morning, sin has no dominion over you. Sin ought not to control you. The psalmist tells us, Psalm 118 and 17, I shall not die but live.
Amen.
And declare the works of the Lord. The Lord is speaking to somebody and saying, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here. I'm still here to heal. I'm still here to deliver. I'm still here to forgive. I'm still here to fill you with my spirit.
Amen.
I'm still here to forgive. But come unto me, all that labor and are weary and tired. And bring your burdens to me. Bring your praise to me. Bring your offering to me. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still here. And that way you can sing what the song says. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. I wonder.